Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. Is Cochran back this morning? Do we know? Yes, Cochran is back. Steve Cochran is back at 6 a.m. All right, let's welcome to the studio the creator of Every Movie Has a Lesson. It's a great blog, and the co-founder, one of the co-founders of the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle, and they're having their first awards this Saturday. The nominees are out. We'll talk about that. And I want to welcome him to the show, and his name is Don Shanahan. Don, how are you?
Good morning, Nick, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about yourself, how you started, how you got into movies.
I got into movies, I think, just like about everybody else. You just kind of enjoyed it in one way or another. And I think what really catapulted me into liking it kind of full-time, or at least writing about it and talking about it, was kind of those formative years in high school. I got into movies in the summer. Funny story enough, I was trying to get over a girl. So I like, what can I do to get away from remembering and thinking about a breakup? So I ended up going to the movies. And I think as a it was kind of the high school summer of about 96, so I'm a 37-year-old guy. And so the summer of Twister and things like that were movies where I just kind of flocked to and ended up being that teeny bopper dork that kind of saw everything, you know, 5-6 times in theater, because movie tickets were $1.50 and it was fun to do. But I did it to get over a girl, and eventually it turned into something I followed and paid attention to, wanted to soak up more. Turned into the guy who, you know, wrote the movie reviews for his high school newspaper down in Piatone, Illinois. Piatone Blue Devils. So shout out to Piatone, just before they put an airport there and flattened the town. But
yeah, I know. I heard about that, man. That's terrible.
I've been hearing about it since I was a kid, and it hasn't shown up yet.
So it's true. So anyway, so you started like a teenager. You really got into it. What were some of your favorite movies during that time period? Now, you mentioned Twister.
Oh, yeah.
I loved. Now, here's a little trivia question for you.
Yes, sir.
What movie is playing at the drive-in before the Twister tears it off?
The Shining.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Very good. All right. So what other ones did you enjoy at that time?
Let's see here. Back in the 90s, I was a kid of the 80s. So, I mean, as a kid who probably saw movies before he was supposed to, the coolest movie in the world to me when I was, you know, 6 years old was Top Gun, you know, and cheesy 80s things like that I probably shouldn't have watched at the age I did, but it turned into something I stuck with. So 80s action heroes, you know, your Sylvester Stallone movies, your Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, some of that stuff were the things I got into. So I definitely ate at the trough of macaroni and cheese and easy cinema like that. I didn't get too artsy fartsy about things till about college. Being a Piatone, Illinois kind of gravel road kid, I didn't have cable. So there's no HBO Cinemax where I'm at in my youth. So
did you have a video store?
I had a video store, very much so. Yeah. It's closed, and I think it's a yoga studio now or something like that in Piatone. But I had a video store, but I didn't really get to soak that up until college. I'm a St. Joseph's College Puma from Rensselaer, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 years I was at college down there, I ended up working at the video stores, being that kind of...
Oh, you worked at the video store.
So I turned into that nerd and hooked up. And,
yeah, my two colleagues on Sunday night, Monday morning, Colin and Eric,
yes, sir,
both worked in video stores. Yeah, both worked in video stores.
I think that turns us into... I mean, I guess that makes us the Quentin Tarantino story of things. But that's how I soaked it up. College was also the first chance. I sound like a complete neophyte, but college was the first chance I ever had to have cable. So I discovered Turner Classic Movies at that time, and all of a sudden it just turned into a light bulb where I would see something that would turn my head, and I'm like, well, what else has that Humphrey Bogart guy done? Or what else has Gene Kelly done? You know?
Yeah.
And, that's where I became a voracious guy about digging a little deeper into the movie section at the store, more than just new releases. And from there, just built up. And that's kind of how the love of it started. I continued the journalism stuff in high school and in college, completely informally. I'm a school teacher by day and things like that. So I didn't write again until 2006. I finally started the blog. So it was kind of a return for writing for me. And easily 5 years after I got out of college, and a couple of buddies said, you know, I've always kind of been my immediate friends is in circles kind of, you know, I think everybody's got a movie guy. Everyone's got a kind of a dork that they go to, like, hey, Don, what's the best about this movie? So a couple of people at the time said, you know, Don, you should start writing again. You should do something, you know, just to flex the creative muscle. So started the blog in 06, and it's been, you know, churning away ever
since. Well, tell everybody about the blog, because I think it's great. It's a really original and interesting angle to take.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because there are a lot of movie blogs out there.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I mean, tons. There's a lot of people who write about movies and blog about them. But I really like the angle that you took here. It's called Every Movie Has a Lesson.
Yes, sir.
So you review the movie. It's a bit your basic, you know, you do your synopsis, your thoughts on it. But then at the end of the review, you point out some of the life lessons that you can get from the film. So tell me about why you chose that route.
Sure. I chose that route because because I wasn't a journalism major, because I was a full-time writer and wasn't going to, even at the time, kind of knew the journalism field was kind of in a, was going to get overtaken by the internet. I never thought to major in that or do anything like that. So I became an elementary school teacher, elementary ed major. So, and I can't, as a school teacher, and my kids always, even my students even ask me about movies and what I like, I could never escape that lens. I could never escape that hat I was wearing as a school teacher.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought, well, how can I incorporate the two together? How can I kind of marry one love with another? So I thought, I said, you know what? I'm always thinking of movies I can show my students and show my class, or because I know I was that dork who, you know, movies were a minor piece of education for me, where, you know, if we didn't learn it from a book, we learned it from some cheesy movie that had to correct something we had to learn at some right. point along the way. So, yeah, it just came, turned into a thing where I thought about, well, what can you learn from each movie? And I said, could I write something about that? It turned into obviously writing a movie first, and then it turned into life lessons. And initially I kind of tried to write, you know, I try to do tangents of just the basic things like man versus nature, things like
sure.
that. But then I said, you know what, give it a little more character, give it a little more flavor, or even give it a little more description. So, yeah, to me, as the title of the blog suggests, to me, every movie can teach a lesson. I think every movie can, you can get something out of it. And it's kind of been a challenge my friends have put on me about, like, oh, Don, there's no way you can learn something from this movie. And I'm like, challenge accepted.
Well, that's the thing that I really like most about the blog, Don, mm-hmm. is that you find things to learn in pieces of crap.
Oh my goodness!
And
yes.
and that's the thing. It's like yeah. Like for instance, you recently reviewed Passengers, which is a terrible movie.
Oh gosh, yes.
But you found life lessons in there.
Always.
If people choose to sit through that movie,
oh, no.
there's a possibility that they can learn something. And I really like that. That's an original mm-hmm. thing to do. I mean, whether the movie is good or bad,
right.
there's always something to learn from it.
There is.
Yeah, Don, hang on, okay?
Okay.
Don Shanahan is here. He's the creator of a terrific blog called Every Movie Has a Lesson. We'll have a link on our Facebook page. And he's one of the co-founders of the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle. Their awards are going to be handed out on Saturday. We've got the nominees, and we'll talk all about that and more. We've got a break for the news here on 720 WGN. All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. And coming up, we're going to be talking about 5 eating habits that you should stick with in 2017. And we will see if they apply to the diet that Esmeralda's on. Mm. The Whole 30. Right, Esmeralda? Whole 30?
Yes.
Okay. The Whole 30, where she can only eat Fig Newtons. No, right? Is that right?
Whole ones.
Whole Fig Newtons. That's whole figs. Just nothing but figs. So there we got. You want to feel old? We're going to talk about 25 things that turn 25 in 2017. And Tom Hardy will read us a bedtime story. But right now, Don Shanahan is here. He is the creator of Every Movie Has a Lesson, and it's a great blog. One of the co-founders of the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle. They've got their nominations out for this year's awards. Your inaugural year.
Yes, first
tell,
year.
Tell us how this circle started.
This circle started this about a year ago, this past winter. A couple of us just kind of got together and said, you know, is there room to have kind of more of a second voice in terms of in town, in terms of a critics group, and something that maybe skewed a couple of different directions in terms of championing more independent film and also championing diversity. And I think our pillar of diversity kind of goes in two places. The first one is diversity of obviously of demographics. We're trying to kind of lean and try to cater to more LGBT, more women, more minority film critics, because they're so sometimes not as well represented in other places,
mm-hmm.
but also diversity in terms of style of film criticism. I know a lot of things are so much centered on print journalism or hard, large, you know, larger sites and larger outlets. But there are guys like me who are bloggers. They're very do-it-yourself kind of people. There are podcasters. There are video essayists.
Yeah.
There are YouTube guys. So we're trying to kind of branch out and kind of grab just talent from different kinds of places, mm-hmm. from different kinds of film criticism, because I think a lot of times those are very unrepresented because they might not have the most gleaming golden press pass in the world, but they do fine work and they do exceptional work in terms of maybe looking at film and reviewing film a different way.
Well,
that speaks to either diversity or even championing some of the more independent film that you might not normally see.
Now, you know, the I've always said that there's room for everybody.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And I've always been incredibly inclusive in that regard. I'm a member of the Chicago Film Critics Association.
Yes, sir,
I've been reviewing movies since 1985, so I've been doing it a long time. And I've seen how the world of film criticism has changed. I've been doing it since 1985, and it's changed. It's changed a lot since then, especially in the last 10, 15 years with the advent of the internet and people blogging. I like the fact that, you know, that there is a voice for people who might necessarily not be on a 50,000 watt radio station every night like I am, or who are not in the Chicago Tribune, or who are not in print and things like that. And I think everybody deserves a voice.
Yeah.
And the more diversity that you have in your discussions of film, that's all good, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're at.
You know, like I have a friend who's on the show periodically. His name is Matthew Hoffman. He runs Matthew Hoffman runs the Pickwick Theater classic film series. And I have a film club of my own, and the CFCA has a film club that they do. And we talk about all three of these separate film clubs. It's not competitive, and I don't think it should be competitive.
Right, I agree as well. The CFCA president, Dan Geyer, has been extremely gracious, where he's been very welcoming. He says, you know what, you can have 12 organizations in town, there'll be room for everybody. So
yeah.
It's been fun to co-mingle a little bit.
And Dan is
a lot of our guys are... myself included, are friends with CFCA guys. We show up on each other's shows and podcasts and things like that. It's been fun.
And Dan is one of the most supportive guys in the world.
Oh my goodness!
Because he's been doing it longer than I have. And when I started in '85, he was one of those guys who reached out to me and was very, very welcoming.
Yeah.
And has always done that. I mean, he's been around longer than I have. And Dan has always maintained a sense of class and it's. It's great that he's president of the CFCA.
Yes, sir.
Because he's very, very welcoming, and he knows his stuff, and he's a good guy. All right, well, let's talk about the nominees. Let's talk about the nominees.
Yes, sir.
You guys have the best independent films, the 10 best independent films.
We kind of did the kind of Independent Spirit Award kind of rules, where if you're under $20 million, you kind of get to qualify for that. So we kind of skewed in that direction, just because we noticed that, one, we put independent in our name, and two, other than the Spirit Awards, there's not a lot of truly independent skewing awards. We wanted to kind of lean in that direction.
And you split it up. So you have the 10 best independent films. You also have the 10 best studio films.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that's how the nominees are broken down.
Yes, sir.
So why don't you tell everybody the 10 best independent films? Because you got them listed in alphabetical.
We do. We have... We took our nomination segment of the first ballot, we kind of, we did points for first choice, second choice, third choice.
Mm-hmm.
From that, we got our numerical totals that gave us our top 10. And our top 10 independent films in alphabetical order are A Bigger Splash, Green Room, Hell or High Water, Jackie, Love and Friendship, The Love Witch, which is an interesting, fun little outside entry that most people
crazy-ass movie.
That's
what it is.
It's been something that our members have definitely soaked up and championed all year, where it was definitely not something on my radar typically, but then once I discovered it, I'm like, gosh, that's something.
I went back and looked at this woman's other movies.
Okay, I have not.
She is crazy.
Yeah.
It really interesting, but crazy.
Mm-hmm. Anna Pillar is something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, Loving Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight, and The Witch.
And the 10 best studio films. So these are the bigger budgeted,
bigger
big
budget
studio
things.
Films.
We
yeah.
call them studio films. You can call them mid to large budget films, but studio had the easiest ring to it in terms of title.
Sure.
Arrival, Captain America Civil War, The Conjuring 2, which was definitely kind of a popular choice among our people. Fences, Hail Caesar, La La Land, The Neon Demon, The Nice Guys, Nocturnal Animals, and Sully.
Nice. I have to say.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
No. I have to say I'm thrilled to see The Neon Demon.
Okay.
On anybody's list.
Yeah.
I just rewatched it the other night, mm-hmm. and it is it's certifiable.
I've heard people say you need to make that a double feature with La La Land.
Well, they're both about L.A.
Exactly.
They're absolutely both about L.A. And both of them are filled with lessons about that. And I read your piece on L.A. on La La Land and all the lessons that you can learn from that. Really beautifully done.
I tell you what, the hard part for me with life lessons sometimes is not spoiling something, because there's obviously maybe a crux or a large moral conflict that's solved that I can't give away.
No,
so
I know.
It's been tricky to kind of tiptoe around that.
It's hard to talk about some of the stuff. Like, I had a really hard time, Colin and Eric and I had a really hard time talking about Rogue One.
I heard your show.
Because there was stuff that I wanted to talk about, but you can't, there's a lot of stuff that you can't give away in that movie.
I mean, if you're a discerning audience member, yeah. It's been enough weeks. We can say
you can say enough.
Gonna end with a suicide.
Yeah, it's just
everyone's
that
gonna die.
I didn't expect it to take that kind of because I don't follow the Star Wars world closely. All right. So anyway, so the three nominees now.
Yes, we
for independent film.
Three.
You narrow it down to three.
Right.
Okay.
It's Jackie Love and Friendship in Moonlight.
Okay. Studio film.
Arrival, La La Land, and Nocturnal Animals.
Okay. And then your foreign films, your three
foreign
nominees.
Foreign film was Elle, The Handmaiden, and Tony Erdman. The Handmaiden was one of our most nominated films with, I believe, seven nominations.
Yeah, it did really well with CFCA, too.
It sure did.
Yeah. And then Best Documentary.
Our three choices are 13th, O.J. Made in America, and the animated one, Tower.
Yeah. We're doing, like I mentioned before at the beginning of the show, we're going to do a special separate documentary thing.
Okay.
On the show, because every year now it's gotten to the point where documentaries, there have been so many great documentaries that we want to give attention to strictly that.
Oh, yeah. You can almost make it a top 10 list just
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, and for me, it's O.J. Made in America, which is this weird anomaly because it's also a TV thing.
Right.
It's going to be nominated for Emmys, and it has the possibility of being nominated for Oscars, and it's this weird, I've never seen that really
it's
before.
It's quite a convergence in a weird way.
It is, but we're going to talk about that because in my opinion, the mm-hmm. best thing I saw of anything last year in any way was O.J. Made in America.
Okay.
The greatest thing that I have seen, one of the most massive accomplishments that I've ever seen in my life,
mm-hmm.
And the best documentary I've ever seen is O.J. Made in America.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to kind of make separate.
Okay.
Have you seen O.J. Made in America?
I have not.
It's
too thick and too large, and I got to chase it down. And
yeah,
I will.
It's going to take you 8.5 hours.
I know.
But it's
if I'm naming my vote on the ballot that's not here is my top documentary of the year was Life Animated.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
That's my favorite outside of O.J.
Oh yeah, it was great.
And then you got you put in the micro budget film, which
we
I think
do.
Is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, we try to skew. Like I said, we try to skew to some more flashlight categories that can use some attention. We have the Fitz, Kate Plays Christine, and Krisha mm-hmm. as our best micro-budget films.
All
and
three
I think,
good films. All
the qualification
good.
There needed to be under 500K
mm-hmm.
in terms of budget, so that's kind of where that's
good. And your towards. Best animated film?
I think these are three nominees. I tell you what, we have Kubo and the Two Strings, Zootopia, and then we have a double nominee of Tower, which is nice to see in both categories.
Yep. And best Chicago film. This is nice. You guys included this.
We did. It's kind of a regional award. We're the rules were you had to be shot and filmed here, not necessarily by a Chicago filmmaker or anything like that. We have Henry Gamble's Birthday Party, Pause at the Clock by Rob Christopher locally,
mm-hmm.
and Southside with You, which
terrific
is quite
movie.
Quite a list of three films.
That's great. Yeah, Henry Gamble's Birthday Party. I have friends in, so I have friend actors who are in that movie. So I always push for that. Okay, best director.
Best director, the categories kind of merge together. We don't kind of separate independent studio by that point.
Got it.
We have Damien Chazelle for La La Land, Barry Jenkins for Moonlight, and Pablo Larraín for,
Larraín
for Jackie.
Right. And original screenplay?
Original screenplay, we're looking at Taylor Sheridan's work for Hell or High Water, the bonkers stuff from Yorgos Lanthimos, and Efthymios Philippou for The Lobster,
yeah,
and Kenneth Lagerman's work for Manchester by the Sea.
Nice that Lobster made it in there.
Oh, definitely. You know, definitely.
Adapted screenplay.
You see the Handmaiden mm-hmm. from Park Chan-wook and his collaborator. Ooh, I'm going to get that word wrong. Jaeon Seo-kyung. I'm going to try to slur that together. Good call. Barry Jenkins, and I think we have to put Terrell McCraney's name there for Moonlight, and Tom Ford's work for Nocturnal Animals.
Okay.
So. But you're right, quite a divergent list.
It is.
For each place. Because like you said, when you go to something kind of traditional like Manchester by the Sea, then you see the Lobster in there, and it's kind of a fun thing.
That's fun. That's great. Okay, actor.
Actor, Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea. Ryan Gosling snuck in there for La La Land, mm-hmm. and Denzel Washington for Fences. I want to say our fourth place guy that was knocking on the door there was, who was our fourth place one? It escapes me at the moment.
Okay.
It's close.
All right. Actress.
Kate Beckinsale for Love and Friendship. Isabel Huppert for Elle, and Natalie Portman for Jackie.
Interesting choices. I mean,
yes.
Natalie Portman, I think, is a given, but the other two are pretty interesting. Although, I think Isabel Huppert might get nominated for an Academy Award.
I wonder if she's kind of in that, is she this year Charlotte Rampling, where is she kind of that foreign veteran actress who has esteem and respect everywhere, but is it seen enough that the Academy Awards will go for it?
The one thing is that she is in a very divisive film, and not an easy movie to watch. So that's the challenge. She's in a crazy ass Paul Verhoeven movie. So
which,
it's a very rough film, and it's a hard movie to watch. It's great, and she's great in it,
mm-hmm.
But that might be a
bit of a deal breaker for the Academy. Yeah, I think they're going to go safe with things like Emma Stone and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's see. You've got supporting actor.
A supporting actor, Mahershala Ali from Moonlight, and two guys that I think play the exact same part, which are Jeff Bridges from Hell or High Water and Michael Shannon from Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah.
I'm voting there, I think Michael Shannon out Bridges.
Oh, that's boy. Just me. Okay. Supporting actress.
Supporting actress, Viola Davis from Fences, Naomi Harris from Moonlight, and Michelle Williams from Manchester by the Sea.
And then,
this was our most competitive category where all three of those ladies, Davis, Harris, and Williams, were separated by one vote. And the fourth place person behind them was separated by one vote from them. And it was Lily Gladstone from Certain Women.
Wow.
So a hugely competitive category.
Best ensemble. I'm so happy to see this first one in here, man.
Me too. Yeah. And my vote, if I was, you know, if my ballot gets to show off here, everybody wants some.
Great film.
Which to me, just a natural ensemble where it's, just, you know, you take a bunch of unknown performers, you give them a fun script and some scenarios, and you let them roll. Instead of being a kind of a resume competition of shoulder to shoulder,
You
got guys that just blend together.
Yeah.
You have Everybody Wants Some, Fences, and Moonlight. It's
right.
Top
on some. Okay. Well, hang on a second.
Yes,
we got a break. And if, you know, and I do want to, I think Everybody Wants Some. Mm-hmm. Is one of the most unfairly overlooked films of the year.
Oh, I agree.
And
arguably the most enjoyable experience I had in a movie this
one
year.
One of the best films of the year. And at least I'll be talking about it on Sunday night, Monday morning. Mm-hmm. I know that much. Okay, hang on, Don.
Yep.
Don Shanahan is here, and the awards will be handed out on Sunday. It's the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle Awards, first annual awards, and we'll come back and talk more with Don after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Don Shanahan is with me. He is the creator of a blog called Every Movie Has a Lesson. You should check it out. We have a link on our Facebook page to that. And he is one of the co-founders of the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle, and they're having their awards on Sunday. We've been discussing the nominees, and I was just told off the air, Don, that you are going to give us a scoop, an exclusive.
Yes, sir. We're going to reveal two of our winners here. We have two of our top awards that are kind of special mention kind of awards, are the Trailblazer Award and the Impact Award.
Okay.
And we're going to reveal those winners for you here tonight before our awards on Sunday.
All right, great. Well, let's fly through the rest of the categories so that we can get to that. And I also want to talk a little bit about how your wife rates movies.
Yes.
I definitely want to
wife,
get to that
Tom,
before.
Will enjoy that, and my daughter, Molly, who's probably staying up to listen, will get a kick out of that.
Okay, too. I just want to make sure we get into that because it's a lot of fun. All right, we're up to the Best Cinematography for the year.
Best Cinematography, we had a tie, Invade the Field and Pull It to Four. We had The Handmaiden, La La Land, Moonlight, and The Witch. In Best Production Design after that, we had The Handmaiden, La La Land, and The Love Witch again. In Best Costume Design, we have The Handmaiden, Jackie, and The Love Witch. In Best Editing, we have The Handmaiden, Jackie, and La La Land. And for Original Score, we have Michael Levi's work in Jackie, Justin Hurwitz's work in La La Land, and Cliff Martinez's awesome pulsing score in The Neon.
I got it. And again, I told you, I just watched it again the other night. I've seen it three times now, and that score is unbelievable. That score is amazing.
Good. I side with Micah Levi if I'm picking between the two, but it's strong. I think the nominee that just missed that field was Johan Johansson's work in Arrival, which
great
is pretty,
score.
Pretty creepy good stuff there.
Great score.
For makeup, we have The Handmaiden, Jackie, and Swiss Army Man, which is a fantastic makeup there. Best visual effects, we still kind of went for the macaroni and cheese trough, which is all right. Doctor Strange, The Jungle Book, and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And then we have two little tiny little categories at the end, which are best short film, which I know Colin Suter will question where we get our stuff from, but that's all right. We have Inner Workings and Piper, and also The Stylist.
Okay.
And then for best undistributed film, the rules there were a film that maybe made the festival circuit but hasn't quite found distribution yet, hasn't been able to premiere in any kind of place. We have Atmo Horrocks and Viage.
Okay. So those are your nominees.
Yeah.
And people on if they can check out a website to see all the nominees.
Yep. ChicagoIndieCritics.org is our main hub and website. We have a page tab for the awards and also just kind of our blog posts. We do our best on that site to cross-promote our members' work. So if I write a review or one of my other members writes a review, we try to kind of put a little blurb in there that links to their content and all that just to kind of promote and just be another arm and another place for our members to get a little promotion on their work.
All right, great. All right, well, let's talk about this. You're going to reveal the winner here.
I am.
Who are the nominees, and then who eventually is the winner of the Trailblazer Award?
Right. So the Trailblazer Award honors the work of an artist who truly pushed the boundaries of the medium in terms of form and content. Our nominees for that award are Anna Biller, the one-man show creator of Everything About the Love Witch. We have the Daniels, which is Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schenert from the Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
The director of The Lobster, Yorgos Lanthimos. And also local documentarian, Deborah Stratman for the Illinois Parables. A piece that kind of resonated a lot with our members.
All right.
Our members voted. We had 28 members. This award, coincidentally enough, ended in a tie.
Oh.
Our two winners are Anna Biller for The Love Witch, and Yorgos Lanthimos for The Lobster.
Well, they certainly are trailblazers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, okay, great. All right, that's great. And now the Impact Award.
The Impact Award talks about, it celebrates a person whose work has had a positive impact on society. And the nominees for that category are Ava DuVernay for her fantastic documentary 13th. Barry Jenkins for his work in STEAM in kind of championing and bringing to screen Moonlight. And also we have kind of a double nominee here for Jacqueline Stewart and Charles Musser for programming the Pioneers of African-American Cinema box set, which kind of, again, resonated with a lot of our members and all that. In this category, we also have another tie.
Another tie.
Oh. I say unprecedented, but we've only had one set of awards, we were actually scrambling with the idea of doing a tiebreaker vote and all that over the last couple of hours, but we said, let's award them both. Our two winners for the Impact Award will be Ava DuVernay for 13th and Jacqueline Stewart and Charles Musser for the Pioneers of African-American Cinema box set.
There you go.
Thank you for letting us scoop that for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. So, and it's ChicagoIndieCritics.org.
It is.
On EveryMovieHasALesson.com. We have links on that for our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. So let's talk a little bit about how your wife rates movies. Instead of stars, she uses pillows.
She uses pillows.
Right.
My wife married into this. She married a movie dork, but she has, oh, God bless her. She has the complete opposite love of movies than I do. She likes to go and does all that, but where I'm the guy trying to find lofty, edible motifs of morals and takeaways. She rates a movie whether or not it puts her to sleep enough or not.
Right.
So where I might give something 5 stars for being amazing, 5 pillows for her means instant sleep.
Right.
So 1 pillow or 0 pillow means I paid attention.
So that's a good movie. If it's the less pillows, the better the movie.
Right.
Right.
So it's just. It's hilarious because it's that classic he says, she says situation between my wife, Tom, and myself where I'll watch something and be like, gosh, honey, wasn't that amazing? And then she's snoring on the couch next to me. So now don't get me wrong, mother of 2 toddlers. She barely stays up enough as it is. We actually watched Hidden Figures last night on a nice screener we got for awards preparation and all that. And she's like, Don, I can't wait to watch Hidden Figures. We got this screener this week. I can't wait to see it. And I'm like, all right, we're going on the couch tonight. We're watching it at 9 o'clock. You gonna stay awake? Nope. 15 minutes in, she's already snoring.
She was out.
She kind of came in and out of the movie. She was there by the time that we got to the end. But boy, oh boy, it's an uphill battle.
Some of the reviews that she's
I know.
Given.
I always ask her for a blurb afterwards because what she'll soak up out of something in one sentence completely trumps the 900 words I think I can put into
one of my favorites is her quick review of The Big Short.
Ooh.
Which is, why are they talking so much? That's all I saw was talk, 5 pillows.
Yep. That's her all right. That's her all right. And then here's our guy Dan Geyer making his top film of the year, you know, and me giving him the 5-star review.
Yeah,
so.
But I have to say that I'm kind of fascinated by this one.
She grounds me. That's the fun part about this.
Oh, yeah.
She helps me go, am I really thinking of this the right way?
Interstellar.
Oh, boy.
Which was my favorite movie of 2014.
It was high on my list 2 years ago as well.
When my husband posted that we were watching this movie, 2 of his Facebook friends, including a fellow movie critic that didn't care for the film, said, there was no way I would stay awake through this whole thing. Well, I did it, and I couldn't stop asking my husband questions. I kept waiting for him to cry again. 2 pillows.
Yep. See, that's the other thing. I am the crier of the two of us. I cry at everything. Maybe it's the daddy genes and all that, or the where I'm at as a father, but I find all kinds of movies to cry at. My wife will never cry at a movie.
Yeah.
It takes a ton for her to cry at a movie. So she's that person on the couch elbowing me in the ribs going, you just wimp.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, Interstellar, I was sobbing through half of that movie.
Oh, my goodness, me too.
I mean, that movie destroyed me.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, it was so much fun having you down.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Everybody, we're all linked up on our Facebook page if you want to see the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle, their nominees and all that stuff, and every movie has a lesson. Just go to Facebook.com/NickDShow. Don, good luck on Sunday. Have fun, man.
Yes, thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for coming down.
You bet.
All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about eating habits that you want to stick with in 2017 and 25 things that turned 25 in the year 2017. All right, we will return.